You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
With a coffee mug that says, I am silently correcting your grammar, although oftentimes not so silently, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Hope you had a nice weekend. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy are going to join us from A1 in just a moment. First, a reminder that coming up at the bottom of this hour, we'll talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward about the legal group's lawsuit against Elon Musk, hoping to prevent a future episodes of billionaire bribery in connection with Wisconsin elections. And tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser, Dan Schaefer, and more. Then on Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud from up north talking about removing lead water lines. It's not just a Milwaukee thing. In her district, Superior has a real problem with that. And the legislature was not really that helpful last week on the topic. So I've got all that and more coming up. But first, at 8:07 now, time to bring in our friends John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison. Guys, how are you?
Morning, Pat.
Real good, Pat.
Doing nice. Well. How are you?
Remember those mugs, Pat, where you pour the hot liquid into the mug and the either the writing on the outside of the mug would disappear?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or appear. Things would appear on
Things would appear, he said.
That, yeah.
That almost family friendly for radio, but the 1970s were so fun.
But that happened in the Bush administration.
Really?
They had all these different mugs.
Hmm.
Yeah, the progressives came out with mugs that they had disappearing writing and maps on it.
Oh, see, I was thinking about something differently, but I'm also.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Those kind of mugs.
Been there, done that, Pat. Thank you.
I'm of an era where when you discover your dad's secret stash of Playboys, I mean,
exactly.
That is finding gold in them Thar Hills, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Yes, those were the days.
Yes. I was just before I came to you, I've got a hayfield right across the street, and the tractor came by to do first cutting. It's so different now as the farms get bigger, you know? It used to be you needed 6 kids on the back of a flatbed, you know, and the little square bales would come up, and everything had to be dry because otherwise, you know, you were going to get into problems. Nowadays, I mean, this thing comes by, it's a huge machine now. And I mean, it cuts it faster than you can cut your lawn is the way it gets done with this whole field here. And then a blower truck is going to come by and get it all done. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about this tomorrow, but the changes in farming are just crazy to see when you get to see them. I saw something last week that I haven't seen in farming for a while. I saw cows outside. That's like a rare thing now. You used to see a lot of cows out in the fields when you drive around, and you hardly see it anymore because they're all in the barns 24/7, you know? And I think some of them have finally figured out, hey, he said, no pun intended, if you let them out in the field, you might get some better milk that way. You know?
They can graze that way. Yes.
Well, we got a story about
a story about grazing out there in the fields. Minnesota is experimenting with a mobile solar panel. And these are two wings, giant wings, solar panels. And they're attached to a battery-operated tractor that moves across the fields very slowly, providing shade for the cows out in the pasture.
This is epic.
It is.
Because we keep hearing, and you know, they're not totally incorrect, but saying, oh, these solar farms, they're taking up all this farmland. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, one thing that I've known is that they have been looking at ways to have your cake and eat it too. Have the solar panels, but either raise them up or have them, you know, rotate during the day so that the crops below can still grow. Or in this case, continue to provide shade for the cows as it's kind of mobile that way. That is amazing.
I know it's real. a really great idea, but it could be frustrating for the cows, you know, when they find a really good spot to graze.
Oh, yeah.
But the tractor keeps moving.
Eat
so
faster.
They're just kind of moving along.
But it actually increases their milk production.
It
too,
does.
Right.
Yeah. That's the whole point of keeping them cooler in the, yeah, it's been so hot lately. It's crazy, right?
Yes.
Except where you are, I guess you had cold temperatures up there, haven't you?
A little further north, closer to Lake Superior.
Oh, further north.
We've had our warm spells here. But I think that would just be amazing. You know,
it's a great
have
idea.
To start a new saying, you know, the grass is greener under the robotic tractor. Something like that.
Yes, solar powered
like
tractors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a very low key weekend here at the house. We didn't set up the list of, you know, 20 things to do. We just kind of did things as they came up. I spent ample time in the hammock, I'm happy to say. But one of you were busy doing the basement, which is one of those things I always say I'm going to do on a really cold winter day or something, and then it just never gets done. But you did
it. Well, yeah, I have two Gen Zers at home, and we have apartments in our home, and they just moved into these apartments by themselves now, separately, and they left all the junk in the basement in the middle of a walking area. You know, I mean, it's hard to walk down there now and do the laundry. So, yeah, I had to kind of clean that up and take care of some of the mess down there. So,
how much did you put at the end of the driveway with a free sign before they got the idea that maybe they should do something with this?
Well, I should have put it up in their apartments. That's what I should have done.
Yes. But, you know, that is there's this rite of passage that I didn't appreciate right away as a young man, but I've come since to appreciate now, not just for my wife, but for my daughters, the rite of passage when you're of an age where your parents, usually your mom, will say to the daughter, okay, I've been holding on to this big old box with your wedding dress long enough.
Yeah.
It's time for you to store it away because you finally bought your first home or whatever the case may be. And it's not just the wedding dress. That's just one example. But there is something about when one of my daughters finally got a place of her own, is we loaded up the vehicle. And I mean, they got a small place, but it's still their place. So here's your stuff to go in your place.
Yeah.
We don't have to babysit it anymore. That's kind of
nice. That's true. Yeah, I wish my parents had done the same thing and let me know. They got rid of all my stuff.
Oh my gosh.
That I left there. But oh no, you didn't. Yes, they got rid of a lot of the stuff. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness I took my 60s comic books with me though, Marvel Comics.
Yes.
I do know though.
I sold those, yeah.
You just cashed those
I just cashed them in.
You made some big bucks.
You know what you do? You take the old comics and you put them in auctions. There are auctions that sell comic books exclusively. Mm-hmm. And you get some really good money there. And boy, you know, I made out like a bandit, but it's sad to see them go. I didn't buy them to collect them. I loved reading and looking at the pictures in the comic books. I was a big comic book fan. So getting rid of them, and I used to draw comics too. At one point. My inspiration when I was a kid, and then I'm selling them, and it's just, it was heartbreaking, but I made some money.
I suppose, yeah. I'd like to think that when my mom got really frustrated with me not cleaning my room, and one day threw away all of my baseball cards.
I was
probably like 11 years old or something at the time, and I totally deserved it. I would like to think that somewhere in there I can hold this over my mom's head that you threw away $1 million card.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident that, you know, you couldn't get, you know, $5 for the whole lot based on what I had. But we'll never know now.
You'll never know. My neighbor had like a gigantic cardboard box filled with cards. And when I think about that, there might have been some real classics in there.
Yeah.
Very valuable cards. So who knows?
You don't get to keep those. And yet every so often, I know there was a story a week or two ago, somebody finding like a Rembrandt or something that somebody else had painted over, and somehow they figured out to look underneath it and find, it's like, that always happens to somebody else, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does.
But you saved yours, and I thought that was pretty. Did you have a favorite genre of comics? I mean,
I like the superhero comics a lot. Spider-Man was one of the best ones. I could identify with him as a loner. You know, no one liked you. Yeah.
It's still the case today. I know.
Up in my lonely room drawing comic books, imagining myself as a superhero. That's the way it is.
See, I was more not so much the superheroes. I was more Archies you know, Archie, Veronica, Betty, Reggie, which why I guess we're going back maybe 10 years now when that TV series Riverdale came out. And you know, it said it's going to be a young adult series based on the comic books. And sure enough, the characters were there, Archie, Betty, Veronica. But as they're all like taking each other's clothes off and having these sexy scenes in the shower, I'm like, this is not the comic book I read.
This is the comic book I wish I read.
Right. Yes.
And you can always show off your age by asking people, you know, when you're comparing to women's, like, you know, is it Betty or Veronica? And for others, it would now be, you know, what, Rachel or Monica? And of course, the quintessential one was Ginger versus Marianne.
Exactly.
You guys,
Gilligan's Island. Yeah.
Yes. We were heavily into all of that. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You ever notice women never do that? They never take any two guys and go, you want this one or that one? It's like, well,
no,
you'd have to find two quality candidates to put up, you know, in order to do that. We're talking to Johnny Gordy. Yes, sir.
But now it's different. You know, a lot of women really do like to see the backside of a guy now in the movies and on TV.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I always wonder if that's. Is that real, or is that just wishful thinking on the guy's part when they write these things? But
well, I don't know. But I know my wife enjoys it.
Oh, well, there you go.
I'm thinking, you know, she's not alone, alone in all of this. But yeah.
Okay. Fourth of July plans for you guys?
I don't really have any plans, and it's a 3-day weekend too. Yeah. So, we got. How about you, Pat? Are you doing anything?
Last night we said, you know, if we do something on Friday the 4th, we'd still have the 5th and the 6th, Saturday, Sunday, to hang out here on the lake. So we looked at the Summerfest lineup, and I don't have it in front of me, but the lineup on the 4th of July looked pretty good. So I think we may wander down to Milwaukee. We haven't been to the big gig there in quite a few years.
Yeah, it's fun going down there. It really is, just to walk around and see the different stages. Yeah.
Well, and half the fun, too, is at that Walker's Point neighborhood. There's a couple of nice, like, boutique hotels there now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're
going to stay over.
You can stay over, and you don't have as much of, you know, the parking hassle or taking the shuttles. You know, the shuttle ride is a lot shorter from Walker's Point than it would be, you know, from other parts of the city.
True.
So I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, when we're comparing notes next week, I'll be curious to see if it's, it was as good as I remember, or if I'm going to give you the old man thing of, there were too many people. Oh, the crowds. I'm never going again. And the music was so loud. And no, I'm thinking I'll be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, the last time I went was to see Imagine Dragons. And wow, what a show that was. Yeah. Gee, that was a fantastic concert.
I'm not familiar with them. I don't know. Oh. Imagine Dragons.
Yep.
Yeah. Big with the kids.
Here's some of the stages on the 4th of July. Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Boy, really?
Am I showing my age? John Waite. John Oates of Hall & Oates.
No kidding.
Richard Marks. And Chicago, a little band called Chicago will be there as well. Fountains of Wayne and more. So right up my demographic alley. So,
a long time ago, they had a stage for Milwaukee bands. The old 60s, 70s Milwaukee bands played at one of the stages. I wish they'd do that again, like Milwaukee Skunks or the Ricochets or the Legends. Sammy McHugh.
Love a good local band. We've got one up here, Uncommon Denominator. They're just so good. You love having a good local band like that. We're talking with John and Gordy. A local update is next for some of you. Others will be back here for more with John and Gordy. And when we are all back together in the 8:30 half hour, we will be talking to Jeff Mandel of Law Forward about their lawsuit against Elon Musk. This is all followed at 9 a.m. by Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matinair will be along before too much longer to tell us what's coming up on her show as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Back now with John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison, where Parker, keep this music up, because I swear he says he got it from our generic production library. I swear that's like an actual song by like Dick Dale or one of those other surfer music guys.
Ventures, it sounds like
Ventures.
To me.
Ventures.
Yeah. The Ventures. Yeah, Walk Don't Run, maybe.
Yeah, Walk Don't Run. Yeah. That's what it is.
Oh my God. Wait, it is called Walk Don't Run.
Yes.
That's not a production library song.
Well, that was in there.
But it might be part of that.
Oh my God, we are in such legal hot water right now.
Oh, no. Have you watched the Todd Oliver show?
Oh my goodness.
Well, it's part of our the music company that we subscribe to.
I think so.
It might be part of their library.
I think it might be.
It might be legal at this
point. I just think it's hilarious that it took three of us older guys to figure it out to let Parker know that, the one thing he said, hey, this sounds really good. Well, it's because it was an actual hit on the radio.
Turns out when you find actual music, it's good.
It is.
Yeah, I think these guys got real potential here.
Yes,
they did 60 years ago. To Tom in Hartford on the text line asking about Brittany. Brittany's off today, and hopefully we'll get to talk to her here before the summer July 4th weekend gets going. Tammy in Eau Claire writes, we went to Summerfest this past weekend to hear Cake. Awesome show, and the food was fantastic. So I'm sure they sang along to Short Skirt, Long Jacket, and all the other hits that they've got there as well. And you were telling me in the break about if there's one other act I have to go find someplace, it's somebody named Tuba Dan.
Tuba Dan.
This is a radio show.
Oh, okay.
On the Civic Media Radio Network. And what's the station, John? This is the Rippin station.
RPN. Okay.
Yes.
RPN. Yeah. And he's on the weekend, I believe. Wait.
Yeah. Every
7 to 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Yes.
And he plays, obviously, he loves tuba. So every polka song has a tuba in it. Not all of them do. But on his show, he's found them all.
It's a great show. Yeah. I got to say. I you know. Not a big fan of polkas, but the show is really wonderful. He's got a sidekick, Corky, and Tuba Dan, and Corky. They explore the world of polka music in Wisconsin, and it's just excellent. It really is.
Of all the things that show off our age, my age, is that... Now, Sherry and I were about to, this week, have our 39th anniversary. So when we got married in 1986... That is still, our reception is still the last reception that we went to with a polka band. Not a band that played polka music. It was all polkas.
Oh, that's nice.
All night.
All the time.
When we grew up, that was not out of the ordinary. Is that a wedding reception, especially in the Manitowoc area or, out in Minnesota where I'm from. But since that time, polka bands at a wedding reception, I've never been to one after ours.
Well, they had a polka show on in Milwaukee when I was a kid. I watched that all the time, the time.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You mentioned over the weekend, you cleaned your basement. John.
I cleaned my basement, and Gordy went to a wine
Gordy
bar.
Gordy went to a wine bar or a winery?
A winery.
A winery.
Distillery. It's a Stable Rock Winery and Distillery in Jefferson, a little town east of Madison, about half an hour. Beautiful place, beautiful setting. And I normally don't go to wineries. And when I do, I order, and it just always makes them mad. I'll have a beer, please. What do you have? And then I take, I'll have a Spotted Cow. And then I pour it into a wine glass.
Because you're classy that way.
It just steams. They don't get very angry about that. But the thing was, I had lunch there, and they had a turkey wrap bacon thing. But the side, and they asked on the side, what do you want, chips or potato salad? I'm not really a fan of, just chips, so I'll try the potato salad. Not a big fan of potato salad. This was the best potato salad I've ever had in my life. Yeah, it was just delicious. It was flavorful. It wasn't all gummy and sticky and everything. Mm-hmm. It was just freshly made, and it was wonderful. And, of course, I was flying solo because neither of my two ex-wives wanted to go with me. So, but it was wonderful. Beautiful setting. I had my beer. I had my potato salad and turkey wrap. It was just a wonderful time.
You're trolling for wife number three, no doubt.
Well,
a setup like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yes, for the potato salad. You love this. Now, that's more normally a German salad. Is a drier salad.
This was not, it had just the right taste. It was a little bit sweet, a little bit sour. I don't know what they put in it,
yeah.
but it was not overbearing. You know, it was just perfect.
They put a little sugar in it. There's vinegar in it, and they have mustard powder they use in it.
There is,
I highly recommend it.
Until I met Sherry, I had never had hot potato salad. You know what? She makes a German potato salad that is just killer. It's everything that you just described, but in you've got it in a crock pot instead. The neighborhood gathering that we have every year, they always ask her to make it. They always eat it all up. So there is no one size fits all on potato salad. So when you find a good one,
I highly recommend it. Stable Rock Winery in Jefferson. Okay. Check out their potato salad.
Okay.
And also their wines. You know, I'm sure the wines are great.
And then finally, and we won't have enough time to talk at length about it, but I wanted to let people know that on your show, and you can go back and listen to past episodes at civicmedia.us, you guys had a good little discussion on birthright citizenship in light of the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on Friday.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to know at least it's still legal. It's still something here in Wisconsin, because we are one of 21 other states plaintiffs in a suit against the government saying that we should keep birthright citizenship. It's part of the Constitution. And because of that challenge, the recent Supreme Court challenge, or at least decision, said that we are protected. Mm-hmm. So we are, they have blocked any anti citizenship
while we deal with the Trump administration asking if a constitutional amendment is constitutional. I'm going to go bang my head against this wall over here the next break.
I know exactly.
And
my head splits too on this.
Everybody in Madison, tune into John and Gordy. Catch them on the app and on the website as well. Guys, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Always fun.
Appreciate it. Coming up next, we'll talk to Jeff Mandel. First, a reminder, sign up for our newsletters, plural. We got three of them now. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. Live from Lake Wissota, what a great place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a real song.
Did you know that Civic Media app has a brand new feature on it? You can use it to text us, of course. We've talked about that at length. But you can send us a voice note as well. You just use that voice note feature, and you can record a little audio message. It might be a comment on something you're hearing. It might be a question for one of us. So just all the more reason to download that Civic Media app and use the voice note feature to stay in touch. Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser will be here, dairy farmer from up in the Merrill area, Chad Holmes from Wausau, Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, and Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. And then on Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud from up north. But right now, we're going to have a little conversation with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward and talk about what I don't know, you can either call it billionaire bribery or you can call it bribery adjacent campaigning or whatever it is. Jeff Mandel and Law Forward want to make sure that these kinds of practices stay on the up and up or don't happen at all. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
No, it's nice to have you here. Thank you so much. Let's put it in your words instead of mine. Tell us about the lawsuit and the genesis of it and the outcome you hope to get.
Thanks, Pat. The lawsuit is about making sure we continue to have free and fair elections here in Wisconsin, and about perpetuating a series of actions that Law Forward has taken to hold accountable those bad actors who try to undermine free and fair elections in Wisconsin. So let's step back to March, to the home stretch of the Supreme Court election that we had here in Wisconsin this past spring, to remind your listeners what happened. In the last 12 days of that election, Elon Musk, the world's richest man, showed up in Wisconsin and started to offer cash incentives for people to vote here in Wisconsin. And first, it was a petition that offered $100 to any registered voter who would sign the petition that very, very closely echoed the campaign themes and messaging of one of the candidates. And then all of a sudden, it was the chance of million-dollar checks to people who had signed the petition and said they'd already voted in the election. And then there was a series of payouts as well in the weekend before the election for people who were knocking on doors and getting photos of voters with the holding campaign material for Musk's preferred candidate and giving a thumbs up or a smile. All of these are efforts to induce people to vote. And in Wisconsin, you cannot give anything that is valued more than $1 to try to induce people to vote. It's against the law.
It sure seemed pretty clear that way. I mean, you can't induce anyone to go to the polls to vote for or to vote at all or to vote for a particular person. You refer to it as a brazen scheme to induce Wisconsinites to vote. And I think that's a generous way to put it. I mean, brazen truly fits what he was trying to get away with.
It's really outrageous, and it's even more outrageous when you put it in the context of some of the things we've seen in Wisconsin over the last few years, including complaints filed by individual candidates or political parties when, say, on campus there was a Get Out the Vote activity that offered ice cream for people who came out to early vote. And they said, well, ice cream is worth more than a dollar. Maybe it is. I mean, I don't know exactly what the details of that program were, but $1 million check is certainly worth more than a dollar. And even the chance to get $1 million check, right? We don't sell lottery tickets in this country for less than a dollar usually. So it really is a brazen scheme. It's brazen in how open and outrageous it is, how contemptuous of the law it is. And we can't let this continue. The day after the election, there was a really distressing article to me in the Washington Post because U.S. Senator from North Carolina, Tom Tillis, who I guess made his own news this past weekend, but Senator Tillis was asked about this, and his reaction was really just astonishing to me. But what he said in essence was that Elon Musk is a disruptor. And he comes in with new ideas and thinks about things differently than we have before, and we all have to adapt. And so what he said is for the 2026 midterm elections, we should expect to see millionaires of all different political stripes standing up on stages and giving away huge checks. And that's just a horrifying dystopian vision to me. That's not the way we understand or want elections to work in this country. And that was really one of the moments when we decided we had to, even after the election, come in and try to make sure this can't happen again.
Right. I mean, you either have that outlook or hear me out here, you don't allow voters to be bribed in one form or another. But now we have to ask the legal thicket question that there was an effort just prior to the election to try to get this practice smacked down, and courts did not go along with it. What is different this time now that the election's in the past? What is different about the lawsuit, the arguments that you're making that you hope make it more likely a court will formally and finally end practices like these?
It's a great question. I think really the biggest difference is the context and the timing. You know, courts have a tremendous amount of power, but they also, as institutions, are not really built to work quickly. Excuse me. The goal of courts is to arrive at the truth and then to enforce the law based on what it finds about those facts. What you were referencing, Pat, was that in the run-up to the election, there was an effort by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to put a stop to an event the Sunday evening before the election where Musk handed out two $1 million checks. We had been pushing Attorney General Call to take action and to try to stop this, and we're grateful that he made the effort. But he filed his papers on a Friday afternoon, asking the court to stop something that was happening 48 hours later. And that's really just not in sort of the DNA of our court system to do things quickly over the weekend in exceptional circumstances. The wheels of justice generally grind slowly, and the courts, no court that weekend, within those 48 hours, Attorney General Call was in the trial court in Wisconsin, in the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But none of those courts said that he was wrong. None of those courts said that what Musk was doing was okay. What each of those courts said is, we're not willing or able to do this on the schedule you're asking us for. And so what our lawsuit is doing is saying, okay, we'll take you at your word, courts, but now the election is over. Things are calm and settled. We're not in an urgent situation, but we do need to know what the law is and get this clear before the next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, because we can't allow this to happen again. And if you remember at the beginning when I recapped what happened, I said that Musk didn't start these efforts until 12 days before the election. I don't think that's accidental. I think part of what they're trying to do is jam the courts. They're trying to show up and do things right on the edge and do them at such a time that nobody can really stop it. And so we're coming in at this moment and saying, let's put a stop to this.
It's downright diabolical. We're talking to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. It's a legal group that already has a pretty good history of holding some bad actors to account. There was the exposing of the fraudulent electors scheme that was cooked up here in the state. And then there was the complaint against the Office of Lawyer Regulation that held that former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman had made some ethical abuses during his sham investigation into the 2020 election. So, you know, this is a group that does not take things lightly when you're doing these things. So you have filed the lawsuit here against Elon Musk. What's next? How should we expect to see things play out?
Well, as I said, courts move slowly. And so there's going to be a period of time where the defendants here, which is Elon Musk, a political action committee that he founded and runs called America PAC, and then another organization that he created with the unbelievable name of the United States of America, Inc. They're the ones who sent people these actual checks. So you would sign the petition from America PAC, and it said that America PAC would send you a check. But the check actually came from the United States of America, Inc. People got emails that said the United States of America has money for you. So those are the defendants here, those three entities. They're going to have an opportunity to answer this complaint, and then the lawsuit will get rolling. So I would expect around Labor Day, we'll have a schedule from the court and we'll be able to move forward.
Can somebody also then do the lawsuit that says, what state allowed you to incorporate the name United States of America Incorporated? I mean, I don't know who runs these anymore. I always thought it was every Secretary of State's office in the state, but somebody dropped the ball on that one.
Indeed, Pat, you are correct. I mean, I think we all share an intuition that it just doesn't seem like it can possibly be acceptable to incorporate and claim that you're doing business in the name of the United States of America. You'll be unsurprised to know that the answer to your question of where was that ball dropped is in the Texas Secretary of State's office.
No.
And, you know, we could either go to court in Texas and try to deal with it there, or what we didn't want to do was make an issue of that and allow the whole case to get sucked into the federal courts. This is really an issue of Wisconsin law, and we want this resolved here in our Wisconsin courts.
Okay. There's just so many issues. I mean, I could even go off on a different tangent. I remember when Ron Johnson first ran for office, and this was, 2010, and instead of paid for by Ron Johnson for Senate, it was paid for by Johnson for Senate LLC. And I'm like, what kind of path are we wandering down here that corporations are literally running for office now? But that's a side issue. And then one other side issue, forgive me for going off on a tangent here, but when we talk about signing these quote-unquote petitions, and I want to put finger quotes around petition, because I remember when I was running for Congress in 2012, and they said, oh, we got to do these petition things. And I still have a very old-school definition of what a petition is. You know, it's you know, to list your grievances against the government, for example. But that's not what these are. These are campaign things. They just collect your name and say, hey, we collected 110,000 signatures on this petition. It's not an actual petition, but it shows the slippery slope of first a petition is not a petition, and now a petition is something that maybe we could send you $1 or $1 million if you sign. And it is so hard as a voter to know what's a gimmick and what's not a gimmick. that the worst thing that could happen, Jeff, is that you and Law Forward aren't there to at least try to get a court to provide a little bit of clarity of what some bad actors can't do.
Well, it is very frustrating because, as you say, we think of petitions as a means of aggregating public opinion and giving it to decision makers to help guide them and help them understand what their constituents want. But these days, so often, especially online, petitions are not that. They are simply means to collect people's email addresses and, right. and text numbers. And it's just a whole shift in campaigning, as you mentioned. And some of it is constitutionally protected, but actually paying people in an effort to induce them to vote or to induce them to vote for a specific candidate, that is illegal. And we cannot allow ourselves to go down that road here in Wisconsin. No,
cannot. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, thank you so much. I really appreciate the information and wish you all the best in the suit.
Thank you so much.
All right. Local update is next for some of you. For others, you'll come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Brewers are on their way to Queens to play the New York Mets. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all night games. Pre-game starts at 5:35 tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday on several Civic Media stations. Head over to the app for details. And then they're off to Miami for the 4th of July weekend to play the Marlins. They are back home a week from tonight for a series against the LA Dodgers. And then the Washington Nationals come to town, and then it's the All-Star break. It's hard to believe we're getting to that point already, but let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. We've got the 4th of July weekend coming up as well. After a short work week for this program and for Matt and Air on Air with Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach. Jane, how are you?
I am well, Mr. Kreitlow, and yourself?
Good, good. Had a nice, relaxing weekend at home.
You guys had a lot of rain up there, didn't you?
We got a lot of rain. We got nearly 3 inches. The river is really high right now. It's green. Things are very lush and green around here. So yeah. How about you?
Mine What'd too. You do? I did, well, Saturday, I don't know what it was like, but in southeastern Wisconsin, Saturday was like the penultimate perfect summer day.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't humid. It was so nice out. So I did a real lazy, I sat on the patio and I read and, you know, just dinked around. And so yesterday I thought, I'm going to be ambitious today. Today it's going to be 92 degrees with 79% humidity.
Yes.
So I went out yesterday morning. I thought early enough to get some weeding done. I went out about 10 o'clock. That was not early enough.
No.
But my question is, am I the only one who swears when you weed?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Because
not at all.
I think about my neighbors who are right on the other side of the fence when I was weeding yesterday. And I get, I'm the thistles in particular.
Oh, yeah.
I have
thistles
particular,
are the worst.
I have particular favorite curse words for those. And they must say, who is she? She's fighting with some invisible person in her backyard and she's talking about stabbing it. I don't know what's going on. Maybe we should move.
Oh, God. No, I totally get it. And I think as well, it's a function of our occupation where we are very aware of when microphones are live and when we have to watch, mind our P's and Q's.
Yeah.
And so, there are some broadcasters, especially in radio, that, they have the worst potty mouths in the world because you have to be so nice on air.
Yes, exactly. And I tell you, broadcasting is where I learned how to swear.
Oh, same here. Oh, I learned it from a director. I was operating the camera and I heard, every invective possible over the headsets. And thank goodness the headset chatter never went out live over the air.
Right?
because you didn't do it right. You heard about it, man.
Oh, yeah. The most creative cursing I have ever heard is like, I never even thought about putting those two things together.
I did the same thing somebody else at a different TV station. Taught me a curse that I did not know existed to that point. But
didn't even know that was possible.
Yep, but there they are, and lightning didn't strike or anything. Right. What is coming up on your program this week?
Well, Civic Media's news director, now Charlie Pittman, is joining us on Mondays after the 9:30 news. Not like because news never breaks over the weekend. Nothing ever happens on weekends. News never drops on Friday afternoons. So Charlie joins us now on Mondays to give us a recap of where we are, what's going on, what happened over the weekend. And then a little bit later on in the show, I do want to start off with, obviously, we're going to talk about the budget. And who knew there was a spine? There's at least one spine among Tom Tillis. Wow.
Well, a spine long enough to go,
ish.
No, and then I'm not running for reelection.
Exactly. But I guess I will at least give him, because he looks like he's going to vote no.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it better be a solid no all the way through, or otherwise that little bit of spine he had, even that's not going to count for very much.
But there's no, you know, a John McCain who I'm going to tell you no, and I'm not quitting or anything.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying I don't agree with you. And there is no thorn in Trump's side right now in his own party. I mean, just jellyfish all the way through.
Well, look at our very own Ron Johnson.
Oh, my goodness.
We all knew he was going to capitulate.
Spelunking. Spelunking with Ron Johnson. He's caving.
I heard you say that this morning when I was coming in. That was great. Yeah, we all knew he was going to cave. It was just on what is he going to give in, because his strong, I can't do this. This is wrong. Oh, well, whatever.
I don't think he's done yet, because the 1 8 years ago that got him to cave was, you know, a sweetheart tax deal that benefited him.
Right.
Now, the reason he's caving this time around, he says, is because he hates the Affordable Care Act so much. He hates that people, you know, have stable and affordable health care coverage. And so he got this promise to go even harder at the Affordable Care Act and rip health care away from more people. But that doesn't personally benefit him. So I'm still looking for something else here.
You're right. That's interesting. There should be some little kiss in there, you know, for Rojo's vote.
Right.
Because like you said, that's what he got last time. And
But we didn't recognize at the time how much he was going to personally benefit. That came out in a report, you know, like a year later. So
yeah,
the story will eventually come out of how Ron Johnson went from profile and courage to spelunker. That's it. That's all we got.
We could all chip in together and buy him one of those miner hats, Pat, with a little light on the front, you know?
Oh, we don't have to do that. That's the beauty of Photoshop. AI.
Hey, Parker, there's your job for later on this afternoon.
Time to learn Photoshop. Didn't know that was on the docket for today.
that and a little AI illustration will do you a lot of good. Matt and Aaron on air coming up right after the 9 o'clock news here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane, thank you so much. Say hi to Greg Forrest, and we'll see you in a little bit.
I will go swear at those thistles.
That's right. I'm next. Yes. For me, it was buckthorn. And I'm always happy to swear at those. And yes, I was doing that over the weekend. My thanks to today's guest, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, Michael McElroy from the North Carolina Cardinal and Pine, part of Courier Newsroom, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Jimmy Cuska, John and Gordy, Jane Matinere, and of course, Parker Olson. And thanks to all of you for being a part of things here this morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor for Up North News. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media and sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.